The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to Bob Burney Live on this Thursday afternoon. Thank you for joining me. Here is my telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Well, let's begin the program with a couple of governor's stories. First of all, here in Ohio, Governor Mike DeWine last evening explained why he changed his mind and decided not to close restaurants, fitness centers, other businesses around the state of Ohio, and chose rather to do a curfew from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. In the press conference, speaking outside of Lane Aviation here in Columbus, he said, quote, "I heard from a lot of people who work in restaurants. Everybody has got a story. The curfew had a more holistic approach. It kept the idea of shared sacrifice and also would have more impact." When asked what it would take to lift the 21-day curfew, the governor said it would not be made using a single number. He said it's not just one thing. How are we doing at our hospitals? What are the trend lines? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Kind of in essence, the governor said, well, I had to do something, and I thought this would upset the fewest number of people. Now, okay, that's my interpretation, but that is my interpretation. He felt like he had to do something because the numbers are surging, at least in the number of new cases every day. But he's facing a legislature that is pushing back harder than at any time during this pandemic crisis. Yesterday, if you did not know, yesterday the House of Representatives here in Columbus passed what they are calling the Business Fairness Act by a vote of 75 to 11. Now, that's a veto-proof majority. And if it were to become law, the Business Fairness Act would prevent the governor and his health director from shutting down businesses during a pandemic. Sponsored by Representative John Cross of Kenton and Shane Wilkin of Hillsborough, the legislation was intended to take away some of the what has been almost unlimited power vested in the governor's office and in the State Department of Health. The governor said he would veto the bill if it lands on its desk. Now, it has not gone to the Senate yet. It will probably pass the Senate. The governor said he would veto it. He said, quote, "This is a direct attack on public health. It's a direct attack on the safety of the people of the state of Ohio. For members of the state legislature to pick this time to say, oh, no, we can't do certain things, we can't protect the people of the state of Ohio, is just horribly misguided." Governor DeWine, I really want to support you. And I mean that sincerely. I've said this before. I think he's a good guy. I think he's got a good heart. I think he's a good guy. But think of the irony of this. The governor has been ruling almost unilaterally, one person, one man, one individual. And he has basically ignored all of the people in the House of Representatives and the people in the Senate that have been elected by the people of the state of Ohio. These are the people we have elected to represent us down at the state house. And the governor has said, well, I've been elected by the people, so I know what's best. And has rejected the input from all of the other people elected in the state of Ohio to represent you and I. Let me read his statement again. This is a direct attack on public health. It's a direct attack on the safety of the people of the state of Ohio. For members of the state legislature, question, Governor, how did they become members of the state legislature? They were elected by the people, and what is their job? To represent the people who elected them. All right, back to his statement. Quote, for members of the state legislature to pick this time to say, oh, no, we can't do certain things, we can't protect the people of the state of Ohio, is just horribly misguided. Well, it's kind of an equally odd time for the governor to say, I don't have to listen to the people that have been elected by the people of the state. I'm going to do whatever I think is best. So I think in light of the governor knowing this legislation has a very good chance of passing, I think he scaled back his plans to lock down and shut down the state because he knew he would have, for the first time since this whole pandemic hit, he would have a serious battle on his hands from the state legislature, and so this was a compromise. Anyway, he says he will veto it. Another bill targeting health orders also will be considered this week. It is House Bill 618. That piece of legislation would require that health orders issued by the governor and the state health department be approved by lawmakers in order to take effect. I would support that. This is the form of government we have. When we elect a governor every 4 years, we do not elect a king. We elect a governor who is to work in cooperation with the other branches of government. That's a very American system. The judicial branch, the legislative branch, the executive branch. And up to this point, the executive branch has basically had carte blanche concerning the state's response to the COVID pandemic. So, I don't know. I don't know the heart or the mind of the governor, but I think this curfew thing was the action that he felt he could take that would bring about the least resistance. knowing for the first time the legislature here in the state of Ohio are finally saying, excuse me, Governor, we're here too. So we will see. And as this both those pieces of legislation go through the state house, I will do my best to keep you informed as to where it is. All right. We need to take our first break. My number, 877-BOB-LIVE. 877-262-5483.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
And welcome back to Bob Burney Live. Well, we were just talking about Ohio's governor. I don't think he's in any trouble, but I don't think you can say that for the governor of California, Gavin Newsom. As you know, California has been one of the most restrictive states in the country concerning the whole COVID-19 thing. The governor has said, stay home, stay home, stay home. Don't go out. Don't go to restaurants. And when you do, wear a mask, wear a mask, wear a mask. Well, as I reported to you yesterday, a TV station in San Francisco somehow obtained pictures of the governor and a whole bunch of other people sitting close to each other in a restaurant, and not one of them was wearing a mask. And, you know, this is kind of typical of the elite left. It's good for you, but it doesn't apply to me. Well, he got busted, and he made an apology, and he says, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done it. Well, today we are finding out that some of the other people at the table for this big birthday party at, by the way, one of the nation's most expensive restaurants. Remember, of course, that the Democratic left is all about the common folks. They're all about the common folks. Well, the name of this restaurant is, I believe it's the French Laundry. It's in the Napa wine country of California. Did a little tiny bit of research, and most dinners start per individual at $350 a piece. Yeah, $350 a piece. Several years ago, a couple took Joy and I to a very expensive steakhouse, and each ticket was, I don't know, probably $80, $90 a piece. It was good. I enjoyed it, but I remember how guilty I felt, and I didn't even buy it. Anyway, the dinners begin at about $350 a piece. Anyway, back to the story. Not only was the governor of California there with a group inside the restaurant without masks, several of the other members of the party were from the California Medical Association. CEO Dustin Corcoran and top California Medical Association lobbyist Janice Norman were also at the dinner at the French Laundry. So not only did you have the governor of California, some of his staff, some of the top medical authorities, the doctors, top brass in California were there as well. The governor's having a hard time kind of living that down, but He'll get over it. I don't think it will bother him at all. May I just, in the few moments that we have left in this segment, repeat something that I mentioned yesterday? And I'm going to be repeating this often today, tomorrow, next week, because Thanksgiving is coming. Folks, this holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, is going to be one of the most unusual holiday seasons, of our lifetime. Family plans are being disrupted like crazy. Many, if not most, families are going to be impacted by this whole COVID-19 thing, whether it is the actual disease itself hitting family members, or concern about family members, or curfews, lockdowns, and so forth. Take what God gives you. I mean that sincerely. Now, some of you, and I say some, I think the minority of you, are going to have a pretty normal Thanksgiving and Christmas. All the family's going to get together. I don't think that's the majority. I think the majority are going to have disruptions. Our family is. Yeah, our plans for Thanksgiving, at least, are all disrupted. And I think that will be the case for probably the majority of you. Don't be discouraged. Take what God gives you, particularly Thanksgiving. Scripture says, in everything give thanks. Everything give thanks. So we have an opportunity during this disruptive season of our lives, this disruptive season in history. You know, we've often said that our grandkids, our great-grandkids, are going to be talking about 2020. Well, we know it's going to carry over into at least some of 2021 as well. Be thankful. If we truly believe what Thanksgiving is all about, we will give thanks in and through all things, all circumstances, and we will cherish what we have, thank God for what we have, and not become discouraged or despondent because of what we don't have. Make sure that your life is characterized by joy, peace, contentment, and thanksgiving. That's what sets us, the followers of Jesus, apart from the rest of the world. All right, we'll be back.